We're in Romans 13, 8 through 14, and last week when I spoke on Romans, I felt like I was rambling on this idea of submitting to authorities, governmental authorities. And then I went back and I listened to it, and I didn't feel like it was as terrible as it sounded in my head. But we were talking about this idea, but as you have noticed throughout the last few chapters, Paul is really hitting on these different people groups and these different ways in which we love these different people groups. Love God, love one another, love government authorities, right? Love people that are our enemies, that we hate. What did Scripture tell us to do? Go buy them lunch if they're hungry. Did anybody buy their enemy lunch this week? Cool. Did anyone have crosswords with their enemy this week? Come on, you liars. Did anyone think poorly of their enemies this week? Yes. Come on, thank you, thank you. Honesty, that's all I needed to hear, some honesty. But Paul really challenges this idea of love, and he continues this idea of love in chapter 13, verses 8 through, I can't even remember, 14. Can I read it to you? Okay. There is Bibles. There are Bibles out in the foyer on a table. They're right next to the free earplugs. We encourage you to take all of those, but please remove your earplugs when the teaching's happening, okay? Because I don't think the Holy Spirit can get through earplugs. That's a lie. That's a lie, okay? So there's Bibles out there. There's Bibles on your app. Download any of them that you can find. Because if you're not reading, I say this almost every week, you're starving yourself to death. And how do I know that? Because I used to be one of those people. I came to church on Sunday. I sat and I let the teacher tell me what was in the Word. And that was good enough for me for 30 minutes every week. That was my scripture. I realized God had a whole lot more to say through the rest of the Word, not just the little bit that the preacher and the teacher was covering on Sunday morning. And so when I started reading, I started getting my world rocked, and God started infecting my heart and weeding out some really nasty things. That too can happen for you. Understand that, okay? So we want you reading along with us. We want you understanding. We want you in the Word with us. So it says this in Romans 13, verses 8 through 14. It says this, "Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery." Can I tell you a story? Do I have your permission? Okay. I went to junior high, not junior high camp, I went to a junior camp. That's K through fifth grade. I was just there Monday through Thursday afternoon. Within that camp, I went up and I connected with my friends in Spearfish. The pastor there, his name is Matt. And Matt had a group of kids going with him that we all took with us to this camp. And within this camp, there was a boy. And this boy had a mother who is dying of cancer. Now what had happened was, is his mother, they thought just right before camp, just days before camp, she was going to be dead. She rallied. She was on her deathbed. She rallies. She ends up coming to the last night of camp. And it was a woman probably my age, which is 36. I know you think, man, that guy looks 50, but it's a woman that was about 36 years old, and she looked about 70, 75. And she sat in the back with a blanket. And she was there with her son the last night of camp, and then she went home, and then we actually ended up taking her son back with us when we went. Now, what had happened was, is we get back to the church on Thursday morning, and Dad shows up. Dad shows up, and what I didn't know is that Dad is my age. He's a well-put-together man, if I can say, be so bold. He looks neat. He looks pretty spiffy. What I found out then is that when Mom's cancer got so bad, Dad left Mom. They're married. They have kids. Dad left mom. Dad couldn't deal with cancer. Dad couldn't deal with his wife dying. So dad does not divorce wife, dad leaves wife. Dad leaves wife for his best friend's wife. Pretty gross, huh? Pretty gross. Pretty gross. I couldn't believe it, because here I am. I didn't know this was going on within this boy's heart, these things that he's watched in his family, this adultery that destroys relationship, this really sad thing. And here we are teaching hope to this little boy. Hope, hey, you know what? There's hope. Your mom's going to be dead in a week. Your dad's banging your best friend's mom. Let's put that into perspective, okay? Your dad's destroying another family. But hey, there's hope. There's love. Let's talk about that. So this adultery, this piece that's kind of just a little sad side story, but you must not commit adultery because why? You owe love. You must not murder. Hopefully you guys understand that. Okay? You must not steal. You must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others. So love fulfills the requirements of God's law. So if you notice, Paul is going through and he's talking about these commandments, though he doesn't talk about all of the commandments. He talks about, he just kind of is picking and choosing commandments. He chooses, if you want to list it in the list, he chooses commandment number 7, number 6, number 8, and number 10. And he's not going through this exhaustive, extensive list. He's saying, look, all of these things, these commandments, they fall under one thing. And that's loving others, right? And that's what you owe everyone around you. You owe everyone that love. You owe everyone the love that you have for yourself. And some of you are probably sitting there saying, Adam, I don't love myself. I'm an unlovable person. I don't love myself. So therefore, I cope with many other things outside of my world to get away from this pain that I feel, this love that I do not have for myself. But what it comes down to is you do love yourself because when you are hurt, you want to feel well, don't you? That's pretty much everybody. When you're hurt, you get a cut, you go grab a Band-Aid, right? When you're tired, you sleep. When you're hungry, you eat. You want to feel loved. You want to feel happy. You want to feel joy. You don't want to feel pain. And so normally we do these things. We try to do everything to avoid those things, the pains, the hurts, those things. And we love ourselves in such a way. And we love ourselves in such a way, even though we have so many jacked up qualities, right? We love ourselves, even though Adam Coop is a big turd. I don't think I've ever said turd from the stage. That really makes me smile. I don't know why. And I apologize to all you new people that are here that will never come back because of that word, okay? All right? But Adam Coop is this not shining thing. Adam Coop is this pile. But hey, you know what? I do love myself because I can guarantee you I don't miss a meal. I eat. Food is good. I want to surround myself with people that are positive. I want to surround myself with people that love me and actually pay into me, and I don't just have to continue to pay into. Does that sound like anybody else? Surround yourself with people you enjoy. So we do love ourselves, but we love ourselves regardless of our own jacked up nature, and that is exactly what Christ is asking you to do for your neighbor. But Adam, they are the worst people in the world. Adam, my coworker is the worst person in the world. Adam, it's hard for me to love these people. It's hard for me to get along with these people. But hey, you get along with yourself every day. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. And God calls you to what? This command, this loving others. right? It's dangerous business. It's risky business. Our leadership calls, some of our leadership calls it spreading your legs. Okay? That's dangerous business. Because at any moment you can get kicked. Love is dangerous business. So we continue on. Paul's words goes on to say this. In verse 11, this is all the more urgent. Okay? This call to love everybody, this call to owe everybody nothing but love. This is all the more urgent for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up!
Yeah.
For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes. And put on the shining armor of right living. Because, why? Because we live, we belong to the day. We must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Why would we do those things? Why would we do those things? Because we are to owe nothing to anyone except our obligation to love one another. Those things listed that he goes through, it's pretty amazing. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties, drunkenness, sexual promiscuity, and immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Why? Because there is an entire world around us that needs love. The things that are listed there destroy you and destroy others. Did you know that? I have a good friend. This good friend is a man who loves Jesus. This good friend is a man who has a hard time figuring out Jesus and his place in being in right being with Jesus. This man told me one night, he was in a town about an hour and a half away from here, and he was drinking at a bar in this small town. And this waitress was there, and Valentine's Day was the very next day. And he said, "Hey, I'd like to take you out on a date." How many of you have said that to your bartenders? Because you think you're going to get free drinks, right? Yeah, yeah. "I want to take you out on a date." And this woman says something to the effect of, "Well, let me keep my options open, and if nobody else better comes along, I'll do it." What that did in him was made him angry, made him jealous, made him envious. So he makes up his mind right then and there, sitting at the bar, and he says, "You know what? I'm going to drive back to Laramie, and I know a girl that will allow me to take her out on Valentine's Day and allow me to sleep with her that night." And what did he do? Drove to Laramie, did everything on his list that he said he was going to do with this girl, and didn't see her again. Is that love?
No.
Man. Do those actions reflect some of your actions? And I listen to his story because he tells me these things, and these are things that are real world struggles for him. And he's looking for love in all the wrong places. He's trying to figure it out. He's trying to be obedient to God. And God continues to tell him, "Not yet. You're not ready for a romantic relationship because you are in such disarray with me. This is how you see my creation, as something for your benefit, as something for your fulfillment and your wants, desires." And I sit and I listen to stories like this, and I listen to stories like the mom and the dad, the mom with cancer, and the dad that just I'm not dealing with this any longer. And you know what? I know the desire. I know the real world nature of sin. Can I tell you a story? I'm at junior camp just this last week. Junior camp, this is a really premier camp. The mattresses are this thick. And if there's a pee under it, I'll know. Or if there's pee on it, I'll know. Mattresses are this thick. The camp has Wi-Fi, has air conditioning in the mess hall. Beautiful, beautiful place. But what's incredible when you go to camp is a lot of times you're with kids. And in this particular camp, I didn't have to be with kids. I got to go and be in my own cabin. It was a little queen bed, its own refrigerator, coffee maker, big cushy chair, its own bathroom. You didn't have to share that with kids. Kids can't figure out to use the restroom to save their lives. I don't know. Did you see the hole with water in it? Floor, toilet. How is the floor all wet? Right. So, at night, I'm there. My wife's not. She's here. She's in Laramie hanging out with our kids. Wi-Fi is available to me. Wi-Fi is available to me on my phone. And what happens when I'm at this junior camp that I'm supposed to go and lead worship at, that I'm supposed to go and be a sponsor at, that I'm supposed to go and point kids to hope, point kids to truth? What happens? I start getting bombarded. You know what? Your wife's not here. You know what? You're in your own cabin. You know what? These kids aren't even going to know. You can get up and lead worship the next day. You can get up and smile in front of people. You can look good, right? So why not check out some porn? And that was a real world struggle for me at night in camp a week ago. Not even a week ago. It was Wednesday. I didn't cave. I didn't cave. I want you to know that. Nothing came of it. There was no self-gratification. There was nothing that came out of that. But man, I felt that urge, and I felt the sweating, and I felt this real-world experience. And Paul, he talks about this. Don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Why? It wouldn't have hurt anybody at that camp if I did that. They wouldn't have known. It wouldn't have hurt my wife at the camp because I wouldn't have come home and told her. Well, yeah, like Wednesday night I was watching some porn, and that ain't going to happen. But what that does do is it devalues creation. It devalues the women and men that have created these things that are looking for love in all the wrong places that haven't got it figured out. It devalues the souls of the people that I'm trying to help. It makes me see people as people created for my own benefit. And not the other way around. Jesus reverses that, doesn't he? These people should be benefiting from you, because you owe them nothing but love. This broken world should benefit from you, because these people are owed nothing from you but love. And love isn't this turn a blind eye. Love isn't this you do whatever you want to do and I'm going to be here to pick up the pieces. Love can even mean coming and saying some really hard things to you as your pastor, as your friend, as your brother, as your sister. Love looks like that. Love looks like us taking Scripture seriously in this love and not indulging, not performing, not doing the things that we know God has already spoken against, right? Ten Commandments, no, don't murder, don't steal, don't commit adultery. Scripture talks about wild parties, talks about drunkenness, talks about, well, what's the big deal, Adam? Can I tell you the big deal? I went a ride-along with my neighbor, who is a police officer. And we are patrolling alleys in the well-known bars off of 3rd Street, off of 2nd Street. And he begins to tell me of how many women have been raped in the alley right behind the Buckhorn. I think, not our small town, not Laramie. This is what some of this stuff leads to. And we look at these things and we trivialize them. We trivialize, well, what's wrong with sleeping with people? What's, you know, it's okay. What's wrong with doing this? And the scripture says, no, it's not a trivial thing. This is a big thing. Because you're not loving people as you've been called to love them. You're not responding to the world around you in the way Jesus has asked you to do and be. And these are hard teachings. In social media, which I used to be a big fan of, I had to back away from it because I couldn't handle it. Because I would get very angry. And then I found out that I was actually kind of addicted to my anger at reading some of you's posts. Anyway, in social media, hashtag stay woke. Anybody know what that means? Stay woke. If you travel in certain circles, this idea of woke is basically birthed out of the African American population. And it talks about being conscious, talks about being conscious of these surroundings and the people around you and the social climate, and especially the injustice that happens within African American culture. And it talks about, it's kind of like, I was sleeping, but now I'm woke. And woke is increasingly used as a byword for social awareness, okay? And I love that Paul says, wake up! I'm sorry, child. Got a thumbs up from Dad. We're all good. Wake up! Get woke to the things that are around you. Get woke not just in a social, political arena, in a scriptural arena. Get woke and stay woke. People depend on you. Did you know that? People depend on the Holy Spirit that's living within you to show them love, to show them grace, to show them mercy, to show them something that's other than their drunken, over-sexualized, depressing world. It's kind of daunting. It's kind of scary that we're the hope for humanity, that we work in tandem with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit lives through us and actually changes us from the inside out, and actually changes us for the better, that people actually can point to us and say, look, this dude, this gal, their lives are changed for the better. That's what gives proof to this thing called Jesus. That's what gives proof to this thing that it's real. And these aren't impossible concepts that I'm talking about. These aren't things that are just this pie-in-the-sky, way-off thing. This stuff is available to you right now. This life is available to you right now. And it comes with struggles just like I struggled with at camp. It comes with struggles just like this guy in Spearfish is struggling with not loving his wife well and destroying another family. There's hope for him. Did you know that? There's hope for my buddy who completely misunderstands relationship and relationship with God. There's hope for him. There's hope for me. There's hope for you. In the office, we talk about hard things. And usually it's a good rant. And then we finally come to a point where we say this one phrase. I don't understand it. These people have hurt themselves. They're hurting other people around them. They're refusing God at every turn. And I got nothing left. And every single time we have these conversations, it comes back to this one phrase. Meanwhile, love. When your words fail, love. When your actions fail, love. When the world around you is failing, love. You owe nothing to anyone except love. Will you own that today? Will you operate out of that today? When faced with your worst enemy tomorrow, when faced with your family that drives you up a wall, your brother, your sister, when faced with a lover will you own that today? Will you love like that today? Will you be woke and stay woke to that today? You're going to watch your world change. You're going to watch the world around you change. You're going to watch the Holy Spirit be alive and well in you. You're going to hear the Holy Spirit whisper things in your ear that you say, that is crazy. You want me to do what? And then you're going to be faithful to that. You're going to be obedient to that, is my prayer. And you're going to go do the things that the Holy Spirit has asked you to do, and you're going to see things that will blow your mind. You're also going to see things that you're not going to understand the full implication of right away. You're going to go do things that the Holy Spirit asks you to do, and you're going to be like, I don't know what that was for. You'll know eventually. You'll understand. You'll hear the rest of the story. But it's got to come out of you saying yes to the Holy Spirit. It's got to come out of you saying yes to owing people nothing but love. Own that this morning. God, we love you. We thank you for this hard thing, these concepts of love. It's not easy. It does us no gain to just love people that love us. But God, to just open that love gate up to everybody, even those that don't love us, even those that think we're just garbage and ridiculous. God, help us to own this concept. Continue to bring these words back into our minds that Paul uses. Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. And that fulfills these Ten Commandments. That fulfills the things that God set in place. God, bring those words to our mind over and over and over again. God, for those of us that find themselves in a hard spot like I found myself in camp, with a mind and body telling you something other that's opposing what Scripture says. God, I pray for victory. I don't pray that they continue in the same way in the cycles that they've been in. God, I pray for victory. And that victory only comes through you. And being broken for people around us, your creation, as you were broken for your creation. That you love no matter what. So therefore we love no matter what, because we have that Holy Spirit that lives within us. That desires the same for our enemies. That the desire is the same for the people that we are abusing in broken relationship, because we don't know how to love any better than that. Holy Spirit, teach us to love. Teach us to ponder on the things of you, not the things of us, not the things that will lead to our destruction. God, may we pay attention to your voice. Most of the time you're screaming at us. Danger, danger, these things will destroy you, and we just dive headfirst into it. God, may that stop today. Father, when we're exhausted because we don't know what else to do, we don't know what else to say, we don't know what else to carry on with, Father, may we adopt the phrase, meanwhile, love. When all else fails, love. As Jesus commanded, as the entirety of the New Testament commands. Father, for those of us that are stuck in sin right now, in wrong being with you, no matter what it is, that it makes it hard for us to hear these words, that makes it hard for us to even see how we would move forward from here, that makes this Jesus living impossible in our eyes right now. God, open our eyes. Wake us. God, break us. God, may we stay woke to the things of you. Birth in us a debt of love to everyone we come in contact with. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen.